Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. It's good to love the Lord. That was an amen in case y'all were wondering what that was. Start them out young around here. Amen. Luke chapter 10. And I'll read a familiar passage with me this morning, beginning with verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and to the end of the chapter. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister, called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now notice what happened. I mean, you're really familiar with the passage if you read the Bible, and I've also preached this passage before in another context. But basically what's happened is Martha invites Jesus to come in, and he's traveling with some folks, and so Martha's going to put together the meal. And the more she is stressing over the meal, the madder she's getting that Mary's not there to help her stress over the meal. And so finally, because Mary's over there sitting at Jesus' feet, she complains to the Lord, and the Lord says to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, in this particular situation, it was pretty much on Martha to allow herself to get overwhelmed and stressed by the situation. In other words, it's not like she had never cooked for some folks before, and so this just got to be, she got overwhelmed. But you know, sometimes in life, there are things that overwhelm you, and they really come at you, and they're not a whole lot to do with your choice. They're just there. It could have to do with your health or a job situation or a number of other things that can come up with the kids and a number of other things. And you can feel just like this, and you just complain to the Lord. "Lord, I need some help here." And you're expecting the Lord to, you know, send angels, send help, send pity. And a lot of times his comment to you is the same as it was to Martha. "You're just too careful and troubled about many things." And so what we want to do today is we want to look in the Bible for what to do when we find ourselves overwhelmed. And we want to look at these things and remember these things so that if we're overwhelmed now, we can do these things and not feel so overwhelmed when we leave here. Or when we do get overwhelmed, remember these things and say, "You know what? I know what to do here." I remember before Lizzie and Ori were married, we sat down and we did a number of Bible studies. It seems to me we must have done 20 or more, maybe 24 Bible studies together. And months after they were married, Ori came to me one day and he goes, "You know, I really enjoyed those Bible studies. And I'm glad we did them." But he said, "I'm particularly glad because we have encountered everything that we talked about, but when we did, we knew what to do about them." So you may not find yourself overwhelmed now, but you will. And when you do, you want to look and remember what these things are, and so you can employ them right away in your life and get through it more like Mary did rather than the way that Martha did. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. We really do need the help. And Father, you know how life is with us. We find ourselves overwhelmed, and this way, Father, by what we're seeing in the instructions, I pray that you will minister your words to those who are overwhelmed in here today. I also pray that you will minister your words to those who will soon find themselves to be overwhelmed, and that they can use these things to get through them, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, when you're feeling overwhelmed like Martha was, what do you do? What do you do when you get overwhelmed? Well, bite my fingernails off, post it on Facebook and let everybody in the world know that I'm overwhelmed, make a prayer request at church and get everybody praying for me, and then I stay up late worrying. That's pretty characteristic. And then fuss with God a little bit because things aren't better than they are. Well, let me give you hopefully a little better remedy than that. And we're going to turn from this passage and look at some other passages now, because you certainly see how the situation here has caught Martha in a bad frame of mind. Cumbered, troubled, and careful about many things. Turn with me, first of all, to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and look at verse 10. What do you do? First thing, Psalm 46, and look at verse 10. What do you do? Psalm 46:10. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. First thing. You say, I don't have time to stop. 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 You make time to stop. It becomes the most important thing that you deal with when you find that your life is spinning out of control, where the things that cumber you and the things that trouble you and the things over which you are careful are getting the best of you. Be still. You've got to stop. Be still. And then he says, and know that I am God. The other day we were walking in our neighborhood, and we're getting to know our neighbors. And the funny thing is, I know them by name, and Ann knows their dogs by name. So, you know, they'll say, you know, the Chief's mom and dad. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I know who that is. And so we were going through, and I greeted some neighbors of ours by name, and they told us of a situation in his life that was affecting a partnership that he was involved in, and him. And he was really stressing about it. And I repeated to him in the short conversation that we had something that Will Muldoon said to us when he was here before he went to the Philippines. He said, when you face problems in your life, you've heard me say this before, but I like to repeat it often because it's good, gaze at the Savior, glance at the problem. We have a tendency to gaze at the problem and glance at the Savior. He said, gaze at the Savior, glance at the problem. And I told him that. Well, the other day I bumped into him before Mother's Day, buying flowers for our wives, and hopelessly lost in that situation. And I greeted him, and he said, you know, I want to tell you, when we ran into you the other day and you said that to me, he said, the Holy Spirit used that at exactly the time that I needed it. We just stopped and we really began to look to the Savior. He said, it's amazing how once that happened, God just settles us down to be able to work through that situation. That's an amazing thing. So be still. And then he says, and know. You see, the problem is we forget. The problem is we forget. You know right now when everything is good in your life and you are on top of the mountain and it's nothing but blessings that God is raining down upon you and you're not dealing with anything, you're telling everybody, you know what, God is so great. But as soon as it hits you, it's easy to forget. It's not that you don't know, it's that you don't know at the time when you need to know. And you need to know that you need to know God in that situation. That's why I love that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Because once you do that, you're like, oh yeah, I got to remember, Lord, you are the one. I serve you and you are strong enough to be able to handle this. He says, be still and know that, listen, I am God, not you. I got a text from a fellow the other day and he was spinning out of control. I mean, you know what I'm talking about when I say that, right? Just things started picking up a little bit too fast and getting way too stressed for the moment. And so he texts me and I text him back and I made a comment to him, gave a verse of scripture. And he goes, you know, I have to remember, I am not God. And I do not control the universe. But when you spin out of control, you know what you're trying to do? You are trying to take control of the things that are trying to take control of you. And that puts you in the middle and put God on the outside. He says, you need to remember something. I love it when Moses is arguing his way out of trying to go talk to the Jews about leaving Egypt. He says, so who do I say sent me? Tell them, I am. I am. And that pretty much take care of it right there. So know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God, do you know what that three-letter word means? He's in control of everything. Everything in this universe functions by God. You say, well, then he needs to take control of these things the way... Yeah, I understand. No, he's in control. You know something? I have walked through very difficult circumstances with many of you and with a lot of other people in life. And it's a funny thing when you are in the middle of your out of control situation and it's very tough and we pray together and we go through the scriptures, you kind of settle down and realize, okay, God's got this. And then you are down the road away from that circumstance and look back. You are amazed at how God brought you through. You are amazed that he did not lose control when you did. It is an amazing thing. We are all that way. And you look back and you just got to remember, listen, the disciples are in that boat and it is going to capsize. And they had been in the boat most of their lives. They were commercial fishermen. And they thought they were going to capsize and the thing was flooding. Jesus Christ was asleep in the back of the boat. Another time they are trying their dead level best to row against a wind. He's up in the mountain praying. But may I tell you something? In both of those situations, he was never out of control. Those guys did not perish. The boat didn't sink. They made it to the other shore. And you come through the problems of life. You always do. You say, yeah, but I'm not coming through them the way that I want to. Not until you've gone through it and you're much, much further down the road and you look back and you say something, you know something, if I'd have known what I know now, I would have said then, this is the way I wanted to come through it. Because of all the other options that were available, none were better than these. Listen, God will work the things out. You've got to stop. Be still and know I'm God. Oh, I'll tell you, that'll help you. That will help you. That's what Mary did. She sat down at the feet of Jesus and said, you know something? It doesn't. This guy has fasted 40 days and 40 nights. If he doesn't eat, it's okay. We don't need the meal. Give him a loaf of bread. If they are hungry, they can eat it. He's done that before. I mean, if it's bad enough, he can take the picture frame and turn it into food. He doesn't need us to do this. Settle down. Bring out peanut butter, bring out jelly, bring out a loaf of bread and sit down here. Keep it simple. Be still. That's the first thing. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Joshua chapter 1. I love 8 and 9, but I'm going to read verse 9 because it's the next thing you need to do. Be still. And then this one. Be strong. Be strong. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong. You know, you ought to look up in your concordance how many times that two-word phrase shows up. And it comes up, he says it to Jeremiah, and he says it here to Joshua. He says it to us in Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong, watch it, and of a good courage. The reason for your strength is not so you're not relying upon the strength of the Lord. Paul said that the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's not like you're strong in the absence of the Lord's strength. It's like you're strong because of the Lord's strength. And he says, and he adds with it, and be not discouraged. Be not afraid. That's what usually gets you. When you find your life spinning out of control, you get afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. That usually happens. Watch it. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't go anywhere. He was with the disciples asleep on the boat when they were having trouble. He was up on the mountain, could see the whole thing, but he was praying and they were fine. He's with you. Now listen, when you find yourself overwhelmed, when you find yourself, what I say, spinning out of control, you have to remember something, to be strong and be not discouraged or be of good courage. Why? Because when you find yourself in that situation where you've got too much going on and the things are overwhelming you, you get discouraged. And discouragement, I've been told and have experienced, is probably one of the greatest weapons the devil uses to bring a Christian down. You get depressed. You lose the fight. I mean, the will to fight. You hadn't lost the fight, but you lose the will to fight. And what happens is it just sucks all the energy out of you. He says, don't be afraid. Sometimes I've called that dread. Do you even realize you were in school once? Back in those days when they said, okay, the finals are coming, sometimes the dread was so much you couldn't even study. You couldn't retain what you were trying to study because you dreaded the experience so much. Some people are like that. You know, in a funny way, I've told you, I didn't like to go get blood tests because I dreaded the experience so much. Wednesday night, Glenda was talking about having to have some iron infusions. I said, does that involve needles? And she said, yes. I said, well, then count me out. And you know what the Lord says? Look, it said, doesn't make any difference. Those circumstances in life that you face or the ones that you're in right now, don't be afraid. Be strong. In this regard, because the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's right there. So you can't lose that strength. You can't let the thoughts of what you're doing overwhelm you. You know what? Martha got through the meal. They got through this experience. As a matter of fact, she even learned something from this because later on you'll find before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that Martha served another meal. And this time there was no complaint. Everything was just fine. She was stronger. Haven't you noticed that when you face tough situations in your life, the next time you face something just like that, you were tougher than you were the first time you went through it? Have you ever noticed that? Absolutely. And that strength, that encouragement is one of the benefits that comes from going through a time that's tough in your life and coming out stronger and steadfast and assured. You know something? God was right there with me through the whole thing. All right, so be still, be strong. Here's another one, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 20. What do you do? Those two are absolutely critical. Stop, be still. Get your bearings on God and then come away from that meeting with God strong so you can face the obstacles, face the thing, and not let something that's trying to control you win. You end up controlling the situation through God. Don't get discouraged. You've already lost if you get discouraged. All right, Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Now I know that 1 Thessalonians says, in everything give thanks. But this says, give thanks always for all things. So not only what you're in, but also the things that come your way that you don't like. Be thankful for those things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Johnny Erickson, I think she was a teenager when she broke her back, and so she spent the rest of her life still alive in a wheelchair. She wasn't thankful for that when that happened. But she began to see God use the change of her physical capacity for His glory and use that as an opportunity to witness to really many, many more people than she would have ever had an opportunity to witness to, and to be used by God to see those people, because of her testimony and the work of the gospel in her life, bring other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, you know what really changed for me? The day that I was thankful for this paralysis. It changed everything. It changed everything. So be thankful. Be thankful for all things. Now, if you're in a situation right now that has you a little bit overwhelmed, you know what you have is tunnel vision. Because what you see pretty much all around you is the trouble that you're facing. And when you've been in situations like this before, haven't you noticed? Everything revolves around the problem that you're having. That tunnel vision causes you to forget everything that happened up before that and all the good things that are coming your way. So he says, I want you to be thankful. When you are thankful and you start, what does the song say? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You're going to find out that the blessings in your life and the things to be thankful for are far greater than the problems that you're facing right now. As a matter of fact, if the more thankful you are, you just keep thanking God and thanking God and thanking God and thanking God, you know what happens? All those things about God and all those things for which you're thankful get really, really big, and the thing that you're dealing with gets really, really small. What made it big, partly, was you lost your perception. I remember making a very bad mistake. I've only made one. I wish I could say that. I went to have an MRI, and the questionnaire, you know, wants to know all this information, and then there's a question on there that says, "Are you claustrophobic?" I should have said, this isn't going to be good. They slipped me in that tube. And I'm fine. I got my eyes shut. And for some unknown reason, I opened my eyes and suddenly felt like I had been shoved into a big pen. Wow. Yes, I am claustrophobic. If you go and read the form, it says no. Wow. Suddenly, my perception of the world changed. And I immediately, you know how they say before you have a major accident, your life flashes in front of your face? My life flashed in front of my face, and I thought, I'm going to die here. This is horrible. I'm already in the coffin. It's horrible. I mean, I hit that buzzer. She wheeled me out of there. Is there a problem? I said, have you ever been in that thing? Wow. Oh, she said, you shouldn't open your eyes. I said, well, I already have. I know what's in there now. It's bad. I started praying. You know, she said, we're going to reschedule. Well, that would have meant the surgery I was going to have. Everything else had to be rescheduled. I said, no, we got to find a way to get through this. Go get me a wet towel. She did, and it was cool. I put it on my head, and I started praying. And after about 15 minutes, which really seemed like an eternity, but after about 15 minutes, I regained my composure, lay back down there with that towel over my eyes, right, so I can't see. And I started praying, and I said, okay, let's go. And I got in there, and you've probably heard me tell this story, but some of you haven't. When I was in there, I was on top of the mountain in the Cascades, looking at Mount Adams and Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier. I'd been there before. I'm up on that mountain. I'm seeing all of that, and I am up there praising God. All the verses that I've memorized are coming back to me. Hymns that we've sung, even though I had to make up some of the words. I'm singing. And that 20 minutes passed like 5 seconds, and they reeled me out of there. I was like, it's over? You know what the difference was? Perception. Perception. I was all right in there. But as far as I could tell, it was the only thing. I was bound by what was controlling me. When I got in there and I'm up on that mountain praising God, I wasn't bound by anything. Do you understand? And you know what it is that allows you to make that transition? It's Thanksgiving. It's being thankful, because it broadens the scope of your relationship with the Lord to everything that He's done for you. He's saved your soul. He's made provisions. He's keeping you breathing. He loves you. He's given you mercy. He's been long-suffering with you. He's saved some of your children, blah, blah, blah. He's given you a good church and all those things. And they're suddenly so big, it's like looking at Mount Adams and Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier and forgetting that you've just been shoved into a big pen, which is going to become your coffin in 10 minutes. I'm telling you the truth. It really, really changes. And the thing that draws you out of it is Thanksgiving. All right, so he says, be still, be strong, be thankful. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. I'm going to look at two verses in Proverbs. One is in Proverbs 15, and then we'll flip over to Proverbs 17 and look at the next one. Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 13. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. When you get happy on the inside, it shows out on the outside. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The contrast is true in both of those passages. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken, and by about a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now that thing, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. What do? Be merry. Be merry. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. Listen, I've been beside people who have gone through a lot of trouble. I'll tell you something that I've seen happen, so just kind of put it in perspective. I have watched people when there's a terminal illness. I have watched the spouse or the children begin to grieve for this loved one that is passing as if they'd already passed. And I tell them, you know something? Your whatever, spouse, mother, father, brother, is still here. And you don't want to start this process any sooner than it's going to come, because when it comes like a crashing tsunami and takes you away with it. Don't start that early. You still have this person. Enjoy what you've got. And you know, I've watched people begin to do that, and it changes them at that moment. They're not so overwhelmed by what's fixing to happen. They absolutely begin to, in a strange way, be merry that I still have this person with me. And they enjoy that time. It changes everything. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You choose, and I choose, whether to be overwhelmed by the things that are trying to overwhelm us, or whether we choose not to be overwhelmed by the things that are trying to overwhelm us. We make a choice that we just stay there and say, you know something? The Bible says, rejoice evermore. The darkest day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was the day that He went to the cross. And He went to that cross, according to Hebrews, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. You say, what could He see that was joyful about that? All of us. Everybody in here that's saved today, that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior because of His death, His burial, and His resurrection, are here today. He saw this. He said, you know what? This is going to be bad, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And He went through that thing experiencing a joy that only He could experience. The Bible says the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. There's not another person that was there that day who could have understood that joy but Jesus. And there's nobody in this universe that can understand how you can go through the problems of life with a smile on your face but you. When you make a choice, I am not going to let this get me down. You see, I've watched people, so have you, where they've been overwhelmed by something in life, it takes a toll on their health. Have you ever seen people that have gotten sick or sicker because of the stress in their life? I have too. And I've also seen people who have gone through the same thing, and they just come in and they're like chipper and having a good time and all that. And you're thinking, how in the world are you doing that? I'm doing that because I don't want it to dry my bones. I'm doing that because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, there's statistical evidence that when people go through a surgery recovery, a recovery from surgery, and they're cheerful, they come out faster and they rehabilitate better than people who are taken down by it and are depressed. I mean, they've got statistical evidence on that. And we've got the Bible that says that merry heart will do something to you that will improve your health, and the converse will destroy your health. It will dry your bones. I also know something about this, and it's particularly true of men. When we get cantankerous, you know, they say, happy wife, happy life. Yeah, but when dad gets cantankerous, that's not, yeah, Lord help us. Yeah, I'll tell you, man. Why? Because everybody else affected is affected by that composure. You want folks to be bright and be helpful to you, be merry. So easier said than done. I know, but do it. I do it. All right, what else do you do? Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 25. What do you do when you're feeling overwhelmed by your circumstances, when the things out there are trying to control you and you lose control, or you forget that God is in control? All right, be still, be strong, be thankful, be merry, be truthful. Ephesians 4, 25, be truthful. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be truthful. What do you mean? Be truthful about yourself. Listen, you are only so much man. You are only so much woman. And where you get in trouble in a situation like this is when you think you can handle the situation you're in better than you're handling it. And you want everybody else to believe that, and you've convinced yourself of that. You know what the Lord said to Martha? She came in there and she was all upset about that situation and stomping her foot down, I say, banging dishes, I say, and fussing at Jesus Christ because of what Mary was doing. That you see. And you know what? She should have just come in there and said, you know what, Lord, I'm making a big mistake here. You don't care anything about this meal. That's truthful. That it really was true. He didn't give a flip. He didn't care. She was the one that made a big deal out of it. And if she had been truthful with herself, she could have just come in there and sat down next to Mary and say, you know what? I've been missing out on a good thing here. But this thing became real important to me. It became a real big deal to me. And now I want it to be as big a deal in everybody else's life as it had become in my life. And how come you guys aren't making this a big deal? I was taught in management school to delegate authority, and I'm trying to delegate down to Mary, and I'm trying to get you to persuade her, and nobody's cooperating with me. You know what your problem is? You're not being truthful. The truth of the matter is you made a big deal out of something that wasn't so big, and that's where you lost it. So be truthful about yourself. You got it. Listen, Winston Churchill said, I've had a lot of trouble in my life, most of which never came. You know what he was? You know what he was doing? He was building up big deals out of things that weren't there. Be true. Step back and say, "Wait a minute! I'm the one that's making this a big deal. It's not a big deal to anybody else in the universe. Why am I getting so stirred up about this? I just need to settle down and be truthful about yourself. I can't handle situations like this. Be truthful about your situation. Be truthful about yourself. I can't handle situations like this. Why do you keep walking into things that are always bigger than you and then expect somehow or another you're going to come out better than you did the last time you walked into something like that? You never do. You never do. If you know that you can't handle certain situations, then when you see a situation like that coming, just say, you know what? I'm not man enough for that. I'm not woman enough for that. I'm not going there. It's shocking me that nobody else is going there either, but okay, then we won't. And listen, be truthful to others. Be truthful to others. You know what happens when you get overwhelmed? The same thing that happened to Martha. You want somebody else to take the blame for it. This is Mary's fault. It wasn't Mary's fault! And the Lord had to correct Martha and say, no, she chose the right thing. You chose wrong. And you need to be truthful with others, and others need to be truthful with you in a situation like that and just say, look, you don't have any business doing that. My mother can't cook. I know there's subtle little laughter. I mean, my mother cannot cook. Cookbooks would do no good. My mother-in-law has all the cookbooks. My mother doesn't need it. But my mother got the idea one time for her anniversary, my father and mother's wedding anniversary, that she was going to have a nice meal prepared for my father when he got home from work. And so she got some steaks and she got whatever else she was going to have. Steaks are the part of this story that I remember. And when you come into our house, you come in through an open garage. And you walk, what's in front of you when you step in is the hall. And immediately to your left in the hall is the door into the kitchen, and then you go a little bit further and it's the door into the family room, and you go a little bit further and it's the door into my parents' bedroom. So my dad got home from work, and when he opened the door, he walked right into a smoke-filled hall. I mean, like the house was on fire smoke. And he says, "Virginia," that's my mother's name. And she said, "Yes." And he looked in the kitchen, and he says, "Are you in there?" I'm serious. "Yes. What are you doing in there?" "I'm trying to cook us anniversary supper." He says, "Come on out of there. Come on out of there. You know you don't have any business being in there." I'm telling you, man. She'd caught that broiler on fire, boy. You need to be truthful. It really helped their marriage for her just to say, "You know what, I can't cook." And for him to say, "You have no business being in there. Don't go there. It's not good for you." And when people are strong in your life who are giving you that kind of advice, you need to just stop and say, "You know what, you're right. You're right." You start spinning out of control, you quit coming to church, and your spouse says, "Honey, you need to come to church." You need to come. They're being truthful with you. And you need to be truthful. And let me give you one more thing. Psalm 18, look at verse 25. Psalm 18, look at verse 25. What in the world? What are we going to do? Life is out of control. No? God, listen, God never has lost control of anything. And He's not going to lose control of your life. Now look at this, Psalm 18, look at verse 25. "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Be still, be strong, be thankful, be merry, be truthful." And this one, "Be merciful." Be merciful. You see what happens when your life suddenly is overwhelming and you sense the floodwaters coming in. You know what happens to you at that time? Everything is spilling in on you. You want everybody to attend your pity party. Really, nobody wants to come. And what you have to remember is, listen, you're not the only person in the universe having trouble today. There are other people who are in trouble. There are other people, listen, who have it worse than you do. Every time I have seen somebody go through a medical difficulty and they have to go somewhere like MD Anderson, they come back and they say this, "I thought I had it bad until I saw." I hear it every time. And you know what you finally realize? You go like they used to do in the cartoons, and you go, you have your awakening and realize, wow, my problems are not big compared to them. It's a strange thing. But when we offer care to other people, God offers cares to us. He's merciful to the merciful. "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful." In other words, we want mercy. The Lord is pitiful, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But you get it when you give it. It is the way it is with the Lord on everything. You extend the mercy to other people who are having difficulty. When that big tornado came through Tuscaloosa several years ago, what was that, about 10 years ago or something, and I mean a mile wide, and it tore up everything. There are stories, I read some of the stories of guys, like for instance, poof, you know, all the shingles blew off the house and more rain's planning on coming. One old fellow was asleep, just overwhelmed by all the debris and stuff that he had to deal with on a certain day. But he didn't have to deal with it alone. His neighbors were there helping him. And he was asleep, and he woke up one morning to the sound of nailing on his roof. And he was like, well, I wonder what that's all about. When he finally came to his senses, you know, and got out of bed and walked outside, he saw his neighbor leaving and turned around to look up and could see the fresh nailing. The tarp had blown up during the night, and the neighbor had seen it. Instead of just telling the guy, "Hey, your tarp's up, you need to fix it," he just went up there and did it. And you know what? He said, "My neighbor's house was in as bad a shape as mine, and yet he took care of mine before he took care of his. Wow. You want to keep from being overwhelmed? Be merciful. Be merciful. Remember, you're not the only one having this trouble. And if you'll extend a little care to somebody else, the Lord will take care of you. I know a friend of mine right now that is going to MD Anderson, and she's dealing with a bad cancer. None of it's good. People say, oh, this is not the bad kind of cancer. It's all bad, okay? All right, so she's going up there, and it is bad. She's going up there, and I heard reports back. And she said, I want to tell you something about MD Anderson. She said, MD Anderson is a great place to witness for the Lord because there are so many people up there that are having so much difficulty with their treatments. You know what's helping her get through her cancer? And she's been given a fixed period of time to live because of her cancer. You know what's helping her? She's not looking for everybody to give it to her. She's giving it to, it's not to cancer. She's giving mercy to other people. And it's helping her get through it. She's not overwhelmed by what she's going through. She's helping other people who are overwhelmed. And God's blessing that. I tell you what, these little things that you heard, these little six things, they may seem oversimplistic to you, but they are vital. And I'm glad they're simple because you won't forget them. And remember them if you're in them now. And live by them. Now, I want to say this as we close this message today. I'm looking around here and there's some new faces and there are a number of you that are here that I don't see often. And I don't know, I mean, I know the testimony of a lot of our folks, of course, that they're saved, they've already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we know, listen, no matter how bad it gets here, we're going to heaven. But I want to tell you something. If you want to end up with a real good solution to this and you find yourself a little bit overwhelmed by things in life, be saved. Be saved. The nice thing about being saved is simply this. No matter what happens to you on this side of eternity, when you die, you wake up in eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing ever gets so bad that it takes you out. It may take you down, but it'll never take you out. You need to be saved. And you say, what is the deal with salvation? It's very simple. I'm just going to, real quick, so you get this. You're a sinner. Everybody in here is a sinner. And Jesus Christ knew that we were in an overwhelming situation because of our sin, so He came down here in His mercy and took all of our sin on His body and died for it and paid for it so we don't have to. Then He died because the wages of sin is death. You're going to die. Well, He already did that for you. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose again from the dead, and He's now in heaven sitting at the right hand of God Almighty, and He is praying for us right now. He intercedes for us. Why? That you and I might be saved. I'm saved. If you're not saved, He's praying for you right now. Imagine that. He already died for you. He's praying so that if you will accept what He's done for you, if you will receive Jesus Christ, listen, here's what He'll do. Your sins will be gone. You will have His righteousness. And when you die and you're judged, He will see you as a son of God and let you into heaven with Him for eternity. And I'm going to tell you, nothing on this earth can take that away from you. Nothing on this earth will overwhelm you to the point that you'll lose that salvation. So I say, you really want to keep from being overwhelmed in life? Be saved. Be saved. Father, thank You today for giving us simple instruction in the words of God on something that we all need, every one of us in here, because we love the Lord. We always, Lord, are trying sometimes to do so much for You, we find ourselves just swamped. I pray for those that are swamped here today, get us through it this way. Now, Father, I'm also praying for anybody in here today that's not saved. This is a day of his or her salvation, if they'll simply trust You and receive You as their Savior and leave here. No way life could ever overwhelm them to the point that they would lose that salvation. We thank You for that. Listen, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ and you need to be saved, do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Slip your hand up, slip it back down. Our associate pastor and I will see your hand. He will open the Bible and show you the verses in there on how to be saved. Is there anybody here today, listen, who would raise his hand or her hand and say, Preacher, I want to be saved today. I want Jesus. Right now. Right now. All right. Father, You see these that are here. And you see them, you know our hearts. And Father, You know stuff going on in our lives that the rest of us don't even know. Help us to apply these things we've learned and help us to do it for Jesus' sake. Amen.